Welcome to the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Kara, the podcast for Central Floridians who want to be in the know on what's happening in Orange, Lake, Osceola, and Seminole counties. Sponsored by the Central Florida Home Brewers, the premier craft and homebrew club. Learn to brew beer, kombucha, mead, or make wine. Visit www.cfhb.org. Now, here's your host, Mike Kara.
Well, welcome back to our next edition of the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Kara here today at Dead Lizard Brewing in beautiful Orlando, Florida. As today we're here for the Central Florida Homebrewers General Membership meeting. And today I'm being joined, first of all, by John Stather, who is a member of the Central Florida Homebrewers. And John, well, it's December, and I thought we'd have a little fun talking about, you know, Christmas beers. And, you know, so you, as someone who has made meads and brew beer, what do you think about something like, you know, when we think about Christmas, peppermint or mint? I mean, have you worked with those ingredients, sir?
Yes. Nice to talk to you again, Mike. I want to say that. It's been a little while. I usually use cinnamon, nutmeg, you know, maybe ginger, something like that, and in a spiced beer, you know, for a Christmas beer. I just had some Breckenridge beer out of Colorado, which is a Christmas beer, and I was pretty well impressed with that. I've had some of the Anchor Christmas you know, they have a different tree on the six-pack every year or something. And I like the Anchor, too, but it's always usually a little darker beer, the Anchor, where the Breckenridge was a lighter-colored beer and a little more to my liking, I think.
Oh, so, I mean, you know, we might have covered this a little with the spices, but, you know, when you make a Christmas mead, I mean, is there certain ingredients? We mentioned those, but, I mean, is there something that needs to be in there that's Christmassy or...
Well, yeah, those spices kind of remind you of Christmas. You know, you could put some peppermint in there, you know, candy or something, and let the yeast go at it, if you know what I mean, on the primary. And then, and you know, again, the nutmeg, the cinnamon, you know, you could scrape cinnamon and chop off a stick, or you could, I don't like to just pour this, the spices in there. I'd rather have them in like a little bag or something to where they don't get all over the place, and I can clean up a lot easier if I have them in my meads. I just entered one again this year. I entered a couple of Christmas meads, and these judges, I don't get the nutmeg. Oh, I don't get the cinnamon. Oh, I don't get this ginger. And they want to pick it apart to where they want to see every spice. And then at the end of it, oh, the spices come together well, but couldn't identify a certain one. So I'm a little frustrated with my Christmas meads and competitions, because I think the judges are picking too deeply into what you tell them. And if it's a spiced mead, I have to tell them the spices I put in it. And then they're looking for those individually when they're all supposed to be coming together as one spice for a Christmas flavor. So I'm a little on the I hope I'm not complaining or anything. I'm just a little on the frustrated side, because I haven't done well with that mead, and I think it's really good, you know. So I guess these new generation judges want the, you know, the chocolate donut, you know, chocolate chip cookie meads or something. I don't know what they want, but to me it was a classic spice mead that just didn't do well.
So, yeah, John, you mentioned the frustration of, you know, entering them in competitions, but then when you make them just right, and I'm sure your family and friends say it's great. So, I mean, you're getting to the point where you almost have to make two different meads.
Yeah, and when I tell them, I shouldn't tell them all the spices, because the judges are getting too nitpicky, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, and I just gotta let it go. Either I'm not going to enter anymore, or I'm going to maybe not tell them.
Right. You know? John, we're talking about, you know, different Christmas flavors. So, I mean, we talked about, you know, Christmas cookies and hot chocolate, you know, a lot of these newfangled different types of flavors, but you kind of like to stick to the more old school flavors. I mean, what works for you then, huh?
Yeah, I was taught, you know, 20 years ago by Ron Bock and Ed Meesum and some of these guys, you know, even John Cheek and Gene Laurie back in the day, where, you know, there, you know, you don't want a cloudy beer. You don't want a East Coast hazy, cloudy beer that's going to clean you out or make you go to the bathroom. You know, I mean, right. You know, to me, I'm for the clear beers. I'm for the clear meads. I'm for stuff that you can drink without it affecting you later the next day or something, you know. And I'm just a little frustrated with that part of it. But otherwise, I hope I'm not complaining. Again, I like a spiced mead. I like a little peppermint. I like a little nutmeg in my Christmas meads. And I've had a bad year for competitions this year. I really have. And last year or 2 years ago, I had a really good year. So I guess it's evened itself out.
Oh, so I mean, for you, John, besides, you know, beer and mead, do you like to try other things like, you know, eggnog and grog? I mean, do you try other things like that around the holidays?
No, I don't want no eggnog or nothing in my meads. I want my meads to be meads, not some sort of a funny, funky, you know, artificial flavored mead that, you know, somebody's looking for in their mind, but it's not really too style or too
right.
What it should be, you know.
Right.
So I don't even eat eggnog, you know. I don't,
no. Yeah, that's
I don't
all right.
Like it.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, but yeah, so we're getting toward the end of the year, John, and have you have one last beer or mead yet? Or are you going to have a grand finale as far as brewing or meeting?
You know, luckily, you know, like we talked about earlier, I bought that Brewzilla and I brewed on it now about, I don't know, 9 times.
Oh, great.
And when I found out that Bell's sold out, you know, Larry Bell, I think it was, you know, up there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, I decided to brew a Bell's clone, a you know, a farewell to Bell's is what I called it. And because, you know, these big conglomerates, they get these and they change the hops, they change stuff, you know, and it's not really the same beer than when it's kind of a craft, local, regional beer. You know, once you know, who knows, I don't want to name any of these big conglomerates, but, you know, once they get a hold of it, they're more worried about cost on production than they are about flavor for the end consumer, you know. So I did, you know, Centennial hops all the way with it and stuff, and it's still going right now. I did a diacetyl rest, even though it's a ale yeast. I did that yesterday because I was over at Saw's, and I took it out and just left it in the garage. It warmed up to like 72 degrees, and now I got it back down to about 68, 67. And need to transfer to the secondary now, but you know, I didn't really think about brewing a Christmas beer this year,
right?
Because I already did a Christmas mead,
right? Yeah,
and you know, Christmas beers you can buy pretty easily at, you know, these local retailers. So I'll just buy a Christmas beer this year.
Oh, okay, John. So the new year, you know, will be starting. So, I mean, for you, do you like to plan ahead for the new year and get all your beers and meads ready, or you just take it as you go along?
I've, you know, been doing it 20 years, and I don't plan anymore like that. I brew maybe, I'd say, once a month, you know,
right.
Maybe 12 brews a year. And, you know, I talk to all the guys now, a lot of them don't brew anymore. They've been there, done that, you know, they don't see any excitement in it anymore to continue to try to create. I brew 5 gallons. So some of these people lately, you know, they brew 3 gallons. They entered all in competition. They got 3 beers to drink. You know, I'm brewing to drink my beers, and then I'm going to enter them in a competition to hopefully maybe, you know, score a medal or something, or, you know, let somebody say, wow, this beer is outstanding. Again, I've always been labeled as a mead maker, and I've done quite well with meads, but I've always wanted to, you know, hit it with beers. And, you know, I've had a couple of good ones, the Saison, zested Saisons and stuff like that. But again, those are a lot of them that are not temperature, dependent. You can do it at 80 degrees or something, you know, and these Lutra, you know, Claviques or whatever they are, Clavike yeast. Yeah, you can do those really hot and stuff, but I don't know if they really have the fruitiness or the crispiness of a lager or a ale yeast. You know, to me, the school is still out on those right now. I did one on Lutra, and it was done in like a day, well, 2.5 days, it was done, you know. So I thought, well, I don't know about this. So, I, you know, again, being an old school guy, I'm fermenting at certain temperatures for certain times on primaries and secondaries. I'm not just trying to have the yeast gobble up all that, you know, sugar water in right. 3 days, you know, at 90 degrees. So I'm a little skeptical about the flavors on that stuff.
Oh, okay, John. So, I mean, for you, you mentioned you've been doing this 20 years, so you've probably made a lot of styles, but, I mean, is there still styles you haven't made and still want to make, or?
Yeah, there's a couple styles. I haven't done Flanders Red or Old Bruins. Right. I don't want to get into the acidic acids and right. stuff like that, that, you know, or the Brett, where I got barnyard and, you know, leather and horse blanket in my beers, because then I got to really worry about cleaning the equipment and getting all that out of there. And so I've kind of avoided a lot of those kind of beers. You know, my favorite beer is a pale ale, you know.
Right,
they
yeah.
call it a session IPA these days, but to me it's a pale ale. And, you know, it's a decent hop, flavorful, you know, beer. And not too much, you know, not too over the top, you know, bittering hop or flavor hop or anything. You know, like Bell's, to me that was a perfect pale ale to me. And that's why I did that one, you know, just recently. Hopefully I did well on it.
Okay, John, first of all, I want to wish you a happy holidays. Exciting, we're getting near Christmas. And before we go, I want to thank you for all. Next year will be 6 years of doing these interviews with me, and I really appreciate not only your insight on beer styles and, you know, beer information, but also beer history and history of the club, and for being, you know, so frank and, you know, upfront about everything. And I really appreciate that. So I want to wish you happy holidays. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention here?
I thank you for, you know, being so gracious to me, and Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year. You know, I think that we're finally going into another year where, you know, these clubs are maybe going to build up a few, you know, attendance members and stuff that it's been falling off lately because of one reason or another. And it isn't just our club. It's all the clubs. I was at Saws. I've been talking to a lot of people. And, you know, if there's members in a club that aren't happy, and they'll break off and start their own club. Doesn't matter if it's in Tampa or Melbourne or Jacksonville or, you know, Miami or Orlando. It's happening right now. And I think that splitting or breaking up of all these members is affecting the judging of these beers. And I think a lot of, you know, anymore, I think that these judges, the competition coordinators, should ask, well, what's the commercial example that you drink from this style if I'm going to assign you this style? You know, they need to know the base styles, not just depend on, oh, one guy's a certified judge and the other guy don't know what he's talking about, and the other guy's going to follow everything the one judge tells him. So, you know, I'm hoping that these judges can start debating again like they did 10 years ago or whatever, you know, when their judges were a little more experienced. And that we can get back to a point where, you know, the best beers win, not the most, you know, not the chocolate cookie dough beers.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with it. I hope I'm not too old school there. But happy holidays to you, too. Thank you.
Okay, that sounds great. My guest has been John Sather from the Central Florida Homebrewers, as we are here at Dead Lizard Brewing in beautiful Orlando for their meeting. And please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of The Central Florida Buzz with Mike Cara. Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of The Central Florida Buzz with Mike Cara, as we are here at Dead Lizard Brewing in Orlando, Florida, for the Central Florida Homebrewers meeting. With me today is Matt Hunsworth, who was for the last month the vice president of ales or lagers.
I'm not sure which one, honestly.
One of them.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be a secretary and also on the education committee. And now, Matt, it is December, and you know, it's exciting. The holidays coming, and I want to just ask you some questions about different Christmas ingredients,
okay,
and maybe you've used these. Now, let's take peppermint. Is that something, first of all, you've used, or something you even like in beer? Or?
Oh, that's a good. Okay, I have not used it. I probably does the
Trying to remember, I know another brewery does a white stout that might have peppermint in it. I would like it in it. I've not used it, and that's for no reason other than it just has not happened yet. But with the right combination, especially with something very dark and chocolatey, would be probably outstanding.
Oh, so now as far as things like a Christmas cookie beer, I mean, how would you go about making such a beer, or even have want to do it?
Well, I do have one that's like a Christmas cookie. It's more like an oatmeal raisin cookie, and and I approach that by I make sure my base grain is really malty, really bready, and I usually start out with some maris otter on that. Then I kind of go for the raisin, and raisin is really easy to draw out of Belgian special bee malt. So I put in more than you normally would want to use in a beer, but if you want that raisin flavor, that's a good time to overdo it. And then for the spices, it's all depending on what you want to taste in that. I use a mix of mulling spices. It seems to have cloves and nutmeg and cinnamon dialed in perfectly, so I use that. If I didn't have that package, I'd probably use something, a combination of those three individually. But the it's trying to not necessarily duplicate the ingredients, because there are no raisins in it, but finding something that contributes to a beer that tastes like what you're trying to get. And that's where that Belgian bee comes in for that raisin flavor, and maybe even a little bit of 120 to make the sweetness in it. So that's how I approach it. I figure, what do I like? What do I want to drink out of a beer that's going to remind me of this cookie, and kind of backwards engineer it from there.
Okay, Matt. So not that I don't find this very appetizing, but you might, and maybe people will. How about an eggnog beer? That doesn't sound the greatest to me, but what do you think, and how would you go about making that?
That could possibly work. I don't know what style base I'd use. Probably something very light, like a not necessarily a lager, maybe a international lager or something. Maybe even a blonde ale or wheat beer would probably give you more of that mouth feel of an eggnog. But I guess you would have to put in a considerable amount of lactose and then the spices that you like in an eggnog. That's my best guess off the top of my head. I, like you, would probably not do that.
Right. So, I mean, one of the things, you know, we know that, you know, around, you know, the holidays, punch, you know, alcoholic punch, maybe a sangria. But do you think that there could be such a thing as a beer punch, or would you make a cider? I don't know if you've made ciders, or how would you go about that?
I probably would have, like, 5 years ago, make a beer punch, like you said, but now that kind of flavor lends towards more a sour. So okay. If I were going to do that now and want to be within what the kind of the popular opinion is, I'd probably go for a fruited sour at this point. Maybe a fruited beer wouldn't be bad at the holidays either, but most fruits, I don't want to generalize, but most fruited beers seem to lean towards sours right now, generally. I mean, that's not 100%, but that's if I were going to do it, to follow current trends, it'd probably be in a sour range.
So for you, Matt, I'm not sure you necessarily, you know, make a Christmas beer, but I mean, what do you think makes a Christmas beer? Is it certain spices? Is it like we're talking peppermint? Is nutmeg? Or
yeah, I would say the flavors and spices fall in that flavors that you don't typically taste throughout the year. That's where the fall comes in and pumpkin ale start. You don't really get a lot of pumpkin pie spice flavor until the fall comes around at Thanksgiving. And then Christmas, you don't necessarily get those cookie flavors and, like you said, peppermint with candy cane, things that are kind of reserved for that time of year. So those specific flavors that trigger that time of year, that type of memory would be what my guideline would be for that beer. I wouldn't say it's because of tradition or because that's when these things are sold. It just comes down to the memory. I only ever get to taste this particular flavor at this time of year. That's what I'm aiming for with this beer if I were to do it.
Oh, so I mean, Matt, we're talking about, you know, Christmas. So as far as, like, do you give beers as Christmas gifts?
Gifts, no, because I guess I constantly give beer. So, yes, oh, I give beer at Christmas, but it's not necessarily the gift. So, yes and no.
Oh, so I mean, you know, we talked with John, you know, about competitions and making your own beer, and I'll ask the same question to you. Do you feel that there is a frustration of what judges are looking for that you have to cater or, you know, have to fulfill what a judge is versus a beer you just want to drink the way you want to drink it?
Oh, frustration is a tough word. I mean, I could see where that would be a frustration to a lot of people, but I think it's two different things. I think if you're brewing for competition, you're trying to achieve a certain style and an expectation to that style as opposed to a beer you want to drink. I brought a beer to the meeting the other week that I just wanted to drink. It was that secret hop one that we had a lot of fun playing that game. I would never do that in a competition because there's no real style for it. So, but I didn't brew that for competition. I brewed it to have fun. So I think it's two different mindsets. It's if you're brewing for competition, you kind of put yourself in a position where you're going to have to match a style and meet a judge's expectation as opposed to just making a beer you want to drink, because you can very easily cross styles and have a fantastic beer that no one is able to judge properly. So I think they're two different things.
Okay, so for you, Matt, is there like a grand finale beer, or is there a beer, a New Year's beer you make or something to celebrate the end of the year?
No, I don't, because usually by this time of year, like we're talking right now, December, what is it, 5th? I'm done brewing for the year, so it's like New Year's kind of gets pushed to the side. I brew for Halloween, I brew for Christmas, and then I brew for the competition circuit all those months before that. So come New Year's, I've retired for the year, so New Year's kind of gets pushed to the wayside.
So for you, Matt, you know, we know New Year's is coming. So, you know, during the new year, do you have like a lineup of all the beers you're going to do, you know, month to month, or you just come up with it as you go?
I do. I write down everything I'm going to do, but that does change. I'll have two brews in January, like 2 weeks apart. I'll probably do the first one. The first one will probably be exactly what I wrote down. There's a really good chance by the time I get to the second one 2 weeks later, I'll change my mind. But at least I'm scheduling them. The dates are always the same. The styles may always change.
Oh, so, you know, things change. I mean, do you find you're adding beers throughout the year if you try a beer somewhere or something?
That happens a lot. I'll try a beer that I didn't really think was a style I enjoyed, and I end up enjoying the beer, and I'll switch gears. So that happens a lot, especially during Oktoberfest times, because a lot of German beers are introduced to breweries that, are made at breweries that are introduced to me that I hadn't really thought of since last Oktoberfest. So that does happen a lot.
So, I mean, for you, Matt, especially maybe you have beer at parties, do you ever keep in mind about beer pairings or, you know, like, okay, try this beer, then try pizza? I mean, do you do any, like, is this going to work with this? Or
No, not really. I've never really done that. I've enjoyed beer pairings that other people put together, but I have not made a set of pairings myself at all.
Oh, okay. Matt, and before we go, we want to encourage that the new year is coming up, and we hope that, you know, that everyone could listen to this, especially in Central Florida, because we want to encourage everyone to, you know, become a member of the Central Florida Home Brewers, and we mentioned some of your titles and, you know, what you're doing for the club. So I'm sure we all want to encourage people. Again, all levels, quickly we'll mention that every level of brewer, even if you're just starting out or even having, like me and my dad, when we joined, we didn't brew.
If you've never done it before, yes, this come to a meeting, meet some of the fantastic experienced brewers we have, and then get a feel for where you want to start, because we've got all levels of help here, and the experience is second to none here. So absolutely, yes.
And one thing I'll mention, like my dad and myself, you could cook it literally on the stove, which we do.
Yep.
Or you could have, I don't know, you know what equipment you have, or you could do whatever you want with it. Take it as far as you want. That.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Yeah. It is. You're absolutely right. You can go as small as you want, as big as you want, and everything in between.
Okay, Matt, I want to thank you, you know, so much for your time. And first of all, I think now coming up, I think in February will be your third year at least doing these shows with
me. Oh, really?
Me.
Okay.
So I want to thank you so much. I appreciate, you know, your frankness and openness, and especially, you know, your personal experiences. And I want to wish you the happiest of holidays.
Well, thank you. You too.
Sure. Any final thoughts or anything else we'd like to mention here?
No, that's, I think you said it great. I'll add to that too. Happy holidays, everyone listening. Enjoy yourself, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends. And then when the new year comes around, take up this fantastic hobby, and we'll be here to help you.
Okay, my guest has been Matt Hunsworth with the Central Florida Home Brewers, and you've been listening to the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Carey here at Dead Lizard Brewing in beautiful Orlando, Florida. And please stay with us for a very last segment of this edition of our program today. Well, welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Carey here at Dead Lizard Brewing in beautiful Orlando, Florida, as we are here for the Central Florida Home Brewers meeting. And with me today is a member of the Central Florida Home Brewers, Jim Gilson. And Jim, it's such a pleasure and honor that you could join me today. And the first thing you mentioned, now I want you to talk, if you don't mind, about your awards that you recently got, because I want to get them all in, so.
Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate it. And thank you for having us on, and thanks for opening the air up. I was lucky enough and blessed enough to be able to come up with some pretty good ciders at the Sunshine Challenge, and I'm gratified that the Central Florida Homebrewers were able to bring the cup back home. I was lucky enough to pick up 3 golds, a silver, and a bronze, all of them in cider and perry. And I'm gratified that the judges found them worthy enough to rate a gold, and also that the cup came home. Very happy with that.
Oh, great. So now, Jim, we want to talk, you know, a little bit, you know, with Christmas coming up. And we understand that you have a cranberry, was it ale?
A cranberry ale, yeah.
That you could make into a cranberry cider? Or
that is correct, yes. Basically, what I do is I started out years ago with Steven Snyder's, I believe it's called the Master Homebrewer or something along those lines, but I've used that book for 2 decades. And it had a cranberry ale recipe in it that called for, I believe it was right about 2 pounds of fresh cranberries. So I initially started with the cranberry pale ale and would serve it at Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners for the family. And it turned out to be a great hit. It's very light, very refreshing, and the tannic and acidic qualities of the cranberry make it a nice balance against any heavy foods you might have. Quite refreshing, quite delicious. I was able to take that same recipe and using the cranberries much the same way, turn that into a cranberry cider, which is also quite delightful.
Oh, so I mean, that is one of the things, you know, that you could, make, you know, for and brew for Christmas. I mean, have you thought about doing any other sort of Christmas beers or Christmas ciders? Or
I have. I've thought about trying to do some spiced ciders. Nothing really has jumped out at me yet. Unfortunately, my brewing skills with spices, I haven't been brave enough to venture out. I do have some friends who recently, Steve De La Sala, who's been a member of the club for 20 right. years, he's made a pumpkin ale and spiced it with late spice additions. So I think what I'm trying to do now is gather a little more information and a little more courage to go ahead and try a spiced cider. I'm just not so sure what fruit I would use to back it up with. Probably a heavier, richer, sweeter apple would be the best, and then maybe some type of a cinnamon and brown sugar addition to it, almost a mulling spice.
Oh, so I mean, for you, Jim, do you think that adding brown sugar or adding these certain spices to, you know, ciders or beers can give it more of a Christmassy feel? Or
I do think so. I do. I think that there's a variety of additions out of the kitchen a person could use. You can do, of course, there's cinnamon, there's nutmeg. A candy cane, as we talk, candy cane comes to mind, how that might be fun to play with. Even a peppermint adjunct used it actually sounds quite refreshing. Sounds like it would be nice. Something with a little bit higher alcohol, possibly served in a smaller bottle, something along the lines of an eggnog size shot or something like that.
Oh, so I mean, there's so many, you know, ideas, you know, for, you know, Christmas. Now, as far as do you tend to give the, you know, beer or cider out as presents or Christmas gifts, or?
I do, actually, and I'm glad you asked that, because I've had a tradition with our family where I've been making I believe it's supposed to be a historical recipe for eggnog that uses rum. What does it use? It uses dark rum. I use a good dark bourbon, and I can't remember the other brandy. I use a very high-quality brandy, and I'll make that in a small quantity, probably 2 gallons, and share the bottles with the family. In the past, when we've done the cranberry ale, we've brought the entire batch bottled in 12-ounce bottles and share that also. And it's a nice gift. It's nice to be able to share that gift of homebrew and somebody taste something fresh and watch their eyes light up.
And with our other guest, Jim, we were talking about something like beer punch. Now, could your, you know, cranberry cider or cranberry ale be like a beer punch? Or?
I would think so, sure. I think that'd be a nice addition. I think you could take the cranberry cider and maybe add a little, maybe a cinnamon stick to it, or a wedge of orange, and do quite nice with that. Maybe a little bit of mint. I think that'd be a very nice addition, yeah.
Oh, so for you, Jim, do you have like a final, you know, when New Year's coming up, do you have like a final or last hurrah for the year, or last cider or beer or something you want to make? Or
I don't right now, but since we're talking about it, I think one will happen. So when I talk with you again, I'll have to share what grandiose plans I come up with for something delicious to be able to share.
So now with New Year's coming up, Jim, so are you the type of person that likes to write down all the things you're going to brew and make ciders and that, or you just do it as you go along?
I pretty much freestyle it. Because my schedule is a bit crowded and chaotic, I try to have an idea mentally what I'd like to do, but I don't write it down. And then when I do get ready to make either a cider or a beer, I will look at my recipe list and make sure I have everything I need to add to it, depending on where I'm going to source my apples or my pears or what type of honey to use. And that I'll get real organized about. But no, I pretty much freestyle it, and something will strike me as a creative idea, and I'll think, wow, I'd really like to try that. I'd really like to see what that flavor would be of that.
So, Jim, you know, you have some fantastic ciders, and we always enjoy them. But my question is, I don't know if you've done this or you have any plans, is to make an apple beer. Because I love ciders, and I also like apple beer. So, I mean, I guess with apple beer, you just put, you know, apples with beer. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a great idea, and I'm glad you brought it up, actually. I really do, because I could easily take that recipe and come up with a nice apple ale and then possibly tweak half of it. And I'm not big on apple pie spices per se.
Right.
It's pretty heavily done, but I think a clean apple flavor with a little bit of honey note background that has enough acidity or hop bite at the end to carry through for the sweetness, I think that would be quite delicious and refreshing.
Oh, great. So, yeah, we look forward, you know, to. So, I mean, do you have, are you the, again, you know, you kind of just, you know, do it when you can. But, I mean, do you have any, like, goals for the new year? Like, well, I'm going to make this beer or this cider if I can, and then enter it in a competition.
Excuse me. Actually, I do. I had, excuse me for the part there, I had great success with reaching out to a couple of different cider styles with Sunshine Challenge, which excited me. And it showed me that it's possible with a little bit more determination. There's a New England cider style. There's the Perry, Standard Perry special. There's quite a few in there that I will try to go back and emulate, and just the flavors are so different. And if you are into your home brews and you like to pair with food, even through the cider categories, you can pair, can pair a higher alcohol New England cider with maybe a heavier meal, or just have your standard cider. And use that as your everyday drinking. So for me, I'm going to shoot to try to make a good one in each category of both the ciders and the Perrys.
Okay, Jim, and before we go, as we mentioned, this is a Central Florida Home Brewers meeting, and I know you're a great advocate. You've held, you know, several positions on the board, and I just want to give you a moment for those that are listening out there that we want to encourage them, like my dad and myself, Chris Chubb, said, hey, why don't you come out and learn how to, brew better beer, and, you know, we didn't even brew yet, so every level, everybody's welcome. Then.
That's correct. You don't have to brew. If you just have a question mark in your head about what does homebrew taste like, is it something horrible, is it something delicious, it is everything you can think it could be. You can be a novice, you can be an expert. The variety of ingredients that are available to you, the techniques of fermentation, the different varieties of hops are outstanding right now, and each one can give you a different flavor, aroma, bittering. We have so many new yeasts that are available to us, so it's a rapidly expanding field. And you can go as simple as we've talked before, Mike, about you can do it on your stovetop, which is great.
And, yeah, or, we do that, yeah.
or you can do a $1,000 system.
Right.
So it's nice. It's for somebody who wants to do something at home, either with family or friends. What the most important thing for me about home brewing has been, and with the club, is that it brings people together. And there's nothing like fellowship, and homebrewing and the Central Florida Homebrewers has always been about fellowship.
And, Jim, if someone's hearing this and they, decide to come to a meeting, we have the website, and they say, hey, Jim, I heard, you on the podcast, you'd be happy to talk to them and spell your wisdom and all your information to them. I don't want to put you on the spot here.
No, that's okay.
People coming
that's
for
okay.
You.
I would really be happy to do that. And I would love to talk to anybody with any question. If I can't answer it, we'll find somebody who can. I love talking about the hobby. It's just been such a gift to me in my life for a variety of reasons, through learning to educate my palate, to learning to educate my sensory, what I can smell and aromas. It's helped me with my cooking. I've made such good friends. I will temper what I'm saying with it. If we do talk, let's make sure we have at least a half a beer in our hands, because once I get started, I'll be happy to answer your questions, but I may go farther. I may give you more to think about and answer more in depth. It's just one thing that we do.
Okay, Jim, I want to, thank you so much. Want to wish you a very happy holidays. And before we go, I guess next year will be 6 years of us talking together. And I just want to say I appreciate it so much. And I appreciate all your insight on everything. So thanks so much for that. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, I'd like to say that anyone who's listening to the podcast tonight or listening to us, homebrewing is a great hobby. It is not expensive. You can enter in with a variety of gear, as simple as you'd like. I would encourage everyone to give it a shot, or get in touch, or come to a meeting anywhere where you live. Find a homebrewers club. Go to it. Ask around. It's okay to be shy, but once you start to talk to people, everyone will welcome you there. And for me, in closing, I'd like to say thank you, Mike, for you and your dad and your support of the club. And We always appreciate you. We always like to talk to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to get me to quit talking. But we appreciate you greatly. And thank you for the excellent brews you've brought. Some of them have made me blind, and I like that. That's okay.
Yeah.
But it's all a process, and it's all fun.
Okay, thanks so much, Jim. My guest has been Jim Gilson from the Central Florida Home Brewers. As today we are here at the Dead Lizard Brewing in beautiful Orlando, Florida, for their meeting. And you've been listening to the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Kara. And thank you so much for listening. And please catch us again next time.
You've been listening to the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Kara, the podcast for Central Floridians who want to be in the know what's happening in Orange, Lake, Osceola, and Seminole counties. Sponsored by the Central Florida Home Brewers, the premier craft and homebrew club. Learn to brew beer, kombucha, mead, and make wine by visiting www.cfhb.org. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you back here next week.